I want to speak this evening on one of the verses that was read earlier in Hebrews chapter 4. This morning at our worship service, I was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus spoke a few words, and a man who had been dead for 4 days came out of his grave. That was a powerful event, and the words of Christ were mighty and powerful and effective. He spoke, and something wonderful happened. And we can rejoice in those things, and we can delight in seeing how Jesus just had to say the word, and whatever Jesus spoke, that's what took place. But I want to encourage you tonight to consider the things that we're told in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We have the Word of God, and the Word of God that we have is something that is mightily powerful. And we're told there in Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We consider the power of God's word. And what we're told here in Hebrews 4, verse 12, I just want to look at the way that it is written here in the verse. And the first thing to consider is what we're told here, that the Word of God, it is living and powerful. So the first thing, God's Word is living and powerful. Now, this is a well-known verse of Scripture. And quite often, well-known verses of Scripture are taken in isolation, as if it just sits there in its own little right. But it wasn't given in isolation. It ties in with what has already been said in the book of Hebrews. And there are very few verses of the Bible that are meant to just sit there in their own right. There are, of course, some, and many of the things you find in the book of Proverbs, for example, it's just a little concise saying, and it doesn't necessarily connect with what comes before or what comes after. But in the Scriptures, if you have a verse that begins as this verse does, for example, with the word "for," well, that is an indicator to you that there's a connection here with what is saying in this verse with what has been said previously. And or if it says "because" or "then" or "therefore," those kind of words indicate that what the writer is about to say is connected to something that he has already said. And what is the writer to the Hebrews been writing about prior to this particular verse? Well, he's been talking about the time when Moses led the people of God out of Egypt. And he has been warning the people that he is writing to all those years later not to make the same mistake that the people of Moses' day made. And so, for example, chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That was the problem with the Israelites that Moses led out of Egypt and towards the promised land. And most of those people didn't enter into the promised land. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." And there is a message then from the experience of those people in the days of Moses. The people in the days of the apostles were to remember those times, and they were to take note of those times. And in chapter 4 then, the writer is talking about a rest that remains. There is something that is promised unto God's people. In the past, there was the promised land that they were being led towards. And the writer is saying, well, there is still something that God is leading his people towards. And just like there was a danger in the days of Moses that those people would miss out on that great promised thing, so our writer in Hebrews is warning that there is a danger of missing out on that great heavenly eternal rest. And so in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And then in verse 11, he says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Those are the warnings that are there in the run-up to this verse. And then it says, for the word of God is living and powerful. So this verse is a verse that comes as part of a warning about the danger of unbelief and disobedience. If you don't listen to what God says, and if you disobey what God says, you are going to miss out, because the Word of God is living and powerful, and whatever it says, that's the way it is. So strictly speaking, this verse isn't speaking about God's Word in general, but it's speaking about God's Word in terms of how it speaks of the consequences of disobedience and the consequences of unbelief. However, it is, of course, true of God's Word in general. In everything, it is true that God's Word is living and powerful, and it's piercing, and it's a discerner, and all of these things. The Word of God, we're told, is living, and it is powerful. God's Word is not a dead word. It's not some ancient old book that doesn't have anything to say to life in the 21st century. God's Word is not something that has run out of steam. It's not something that was valuable for people in Victorian times, but doesn't apply in this progressive modern age. It's not something that has lost its effect. The Word of God is still living and powerful. And there is no threat which God makes in his Word that can be dismissed. And people can say, well, we don't need to worry about that. God warned the people in the days of Moses what would happen if they didn't obey him. And they ignored his Word. And God's Word proved to be living and powerful. And it will still prove to be the same. And there's no promise that we can find in the Scriptures that isn't going to be kept. There's nothing that God has promised to do that he'll find, well, it's just too hard to do. That's the way it is with politicians. They set it all out, this is what we want to do. And then they wake up and the reality hits and they grasp, well, there's no way we're going to be able to do all of this. And so there's a whole lot of backtracking and explaining. Well, God doesn't have to do those kind of things. If God threatens, he means it. If God promises, he means it. God's Word is living. God's Word is powerful. And God's Word is living and powerful because God himself is living and powerful. And as is God, so is his Word. God has his plans. His plans will never be frustrated. They will never be defeated. And the words of God cannot be safely ignored. Once it was the case that this earth was covered in darkness. Where did the light come from? Well, God spoke the word. God spoke a word and light came into existence. And our whole universe was formed simply by God speaking a word. God's word is living and powerful and effective. And Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, even today, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. It is Christ's powerful word that keeps our world in existence. It holds all things together. And it is by the word of the Lord that a sinner dead in their sins receives new life. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, for you have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. So God speaks and the world is created. God speaks and the world is upheld or sustained. God speaks and a sinner is born again. God speaks a few words and the dead man Lazarus comes out of his tomb. God speaks to you in the words of your Bible. And what happens? Is the word of God living? Is the word of God powerful in your experience? One of the questions we're asked in visitation of presbytery, ministers are asked, do you know the power of the word of God in your own life? That's a good question. The word of God is living and powerful. We see it throughout the scriptures, but do we see it in our own experience? What has the word of God done for you in the last week? What words have you taken comfort from? What words have helped you and sustained you and guided you and directed you? What words have rebuked you and led you to confess your sin? The word of God is living and powerful. God doesn't take no for an answer. His word is living and powerful. And so we can expect that word will have its effects. That's the first thing, is that God's word is living and powerful. And then in the second place, we see that God's word is sharp and piercing. We're told that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. God's word is not blunt. It is sharp and it is piercing. I wonder, do you have a sharp knife at home? We have a sharp knife at home. It stays in a special box. It was a knife that was presented to Jennifer and I at the time of our wedding, and we used it to cut our wedding cake. I hope that's right. Otherwise, I might have to retract that statement again. But it's not used very often. Is that right, Jennifer? I've lost all confidence now in what I'm saying. Well, forget about the wedding business. There is a very sharp knife that stays in a box in a drawer in our kitchen, and it's not used very often, but it is very sharp. And not so long ago, when Stuart was at home for a few days, he was drying the dishes. In our house, we have to make sure that Stuart is kept away from washing the dishes because he is the worst of all of us at washing the dishes. But you can't go too far wrong when you're drying the dishes, or so we thought. But Jennifer was warning him that this knife was really sharp, and the knife went right through the drying cloth. So sharp was it? So he found out in practice that it really was sharp and penetrating, sharp and piercing. And we're told that that's what the Word of God is like. It is sharp. It is piercing. There's nothing quite like it. The Word of God can get in where no man-made weapon can get in. The Word of God is more effective than the sharpest double-edged weapon that we could think of. God's Word doesn't have a blunt side to it. It cuts both ways. And when it comes into contact with a human being, it has one of two effects. It is either a sword that brings salvation through the exposure and removal of our sin, or it is a sword that comes against us in judgment and condemnation. And it gets us one way or the other. There's no escaping from this sword. God's Word leaves no one unscathed. It affects us one way or the other. Now, sometimes the effects of God's Word take time to be revealed. But there's no one who can disobey God and there not be any consequences. Some of those men who wandered around in the wilderness for nearly 40 years, they were wandering around for a long time, but they missed out. They missed out on the promised land, and the Word of God caught up with them. It was sharp. It was piercing. And it didn't finish them off instantly, but the Word of God stood true, and they did not enter into His rest. And God's Word can do what no human weapon can do. There's mysterious words in this verse about the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And human instruments can't do these things. But the Word of God can get in where nothing else can get in. And just how deep and penetrating the Word of God is revealed in the final part of this verse. So God's Word is living and powerful. It is sharp and piercing. And then also in this verse, it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what it says at the end of the verse. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. NIV says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God is the standard by which we know what is right and what is wrong. And when people set aside the Word of God, they do not have a standard as to what is right and what is wrong. And how do people know what is morally acceptable and what is not morally acceptable if you haven't got the Word of God to guide you in these things? Truth is not something that is decided by a majority vote. Truth is something that God has established, and He has written it down so that we might know. God has revealed His truth in His Word. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Watching the news, listening to the news these days, can be a rather heartbreaking event. People have been rejoicing in recent days in the statements of Philip Schofield, and it's portrayed as a great thing that he has declared himself to be a man who is attracted to other men, and it's seen as this is great that he has come out in the open about this. There's no saying, isn't it great that man was faithful to his wife for 27 years, that he entered into marriage, and that the marriage was blessed with two daughters, that was a good thing. That's what was good. But our society today has turned things completely on its head, and it rejoices in what is not good. And it sees what actually is good as something to be ashamed of. And in the Scottish Parliament this week, the finance minister, the SNP finance minister, Derek Mackay, just shortly before he was due to deliver the budget in the Scottish Parliament, it all blew up, and he never got to do that because matters from his personal life came into the public domain, and he had sent hundreds of texts to a 16-year-old boy. Mr. Mackay is an open practicing homosexual, and yet the day after it broke, I heard a piece on the radio, and people were saying, "Well, what actually is there here that is wrong?" And people, they couldn't actually say, "Well, this is wrong," and they were arguing that the law hadn't actually been broken anywhere, so there wasn't anything technically that was wrong. Well, that's what happens when you set aside the Word of God. And people, as time goes on, begin to just not see the things that would be blatantly obvious to anyone who has an understanding of God's Word. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible tells us the things that are true and the things that are false. The Bible tells us what's right and what's wrong. It's not Parliament that tells us what's right or wrong. It's not Stormont that tells us what's right or wrong. It's the Scriptures that reveal these things to us. And God's Word judges or discerns the very thoughts and intents of the heart. It's not just the surface things that the Word of God deals with. It goes below the surface. And there's no one who can probe like the Word of God can probe. I don't know what your thoughts are tonight. I don't know the things that are going around in your head. And I don't know the attitudes that you have, and you don't know the attitudes that I have. But it's possible for us in life to be doing the right thing, but to have totally the wrong attitude. And God's Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. It gets right down to our attitudes and our motivations. We can fool other people by doing the right things, but we can't fool God, and His Word exposes the truth about us. God knows who we're really wanting to please in life. I wonder if you've had on some occasion the experience which I have had of listening to a sermon and thinking that it was speaking directly to you. And maybe sometime you've been a bit annoyed at what the preacher was saying. And there is in life the temptation to be annoyed with the preacher if he happens to touch on something that is a sore point with you. Now, if the preacher is only given his own opinion, well, then you're quite right to be annoyed with him. But if the things that he's saying are based on the Word of God and are coming from the Scriptures, well, then there's never any need to be annoyed with the preacher. It's God that we're really annoyed with, and instead we need to be annoyed with ourselves. The preacher, whoever the preacher is, never knows the exact words that are needed for any particular audience or congregation to hear. A preacher is never able to bring people to face the things that they really need to face. But the Word of God is able to bring these things to the surface. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The preacher isn't able, but God and His Word is able to search and to know and to judge our hearts. Sometimes you can hear something that is really very general, but in your heart it has a very specific application, and that's the one that you latch onto. If there's a sin that we've been hiding, if there's something that we have been excusing, well, God can bring that thing to our attention through His Word. And His Word is a discerner of what's in our hearts, of what our intentions are. It's the Word of God that is the great annoyer of sinners. And so the Word of God has to be silenced. And that's the approach of secular people in these days. Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, has been excluded from, I think, 8 different venues in the UK. He's not been allowed to come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because of statements that he had made indicating his opposition to same-sex marriage. And so efforts are made to silence the Word of God. The opportunity to speak in different places is being taken away. These things, the truth of God's Word must not be heard. And that's the way things are in our society. The Word of God probes more deeply than anything else can probe. God's Word is living and powerful. It is sharp and piercing. And it is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, the thought of this verse is, and the emphasis of it is, that the Word of God will certainly come against us if we disobey. There will be no hiding from God's Word. It will show itself to be true and powerful and right, and there will be no escape. But we can also consider this word and the message of this verse in a positive light. Because if you're a Christian, well, the Word of God is your powerful weapon. The Word of God is what you have at your disposal. And your words and your opinions aren't living and powerful and all of these things. But the Word of God is. And the Word of God is the one weapon that can break through the defenses of unbelievers. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the Word of God is so sharp and so piercing that it only takes a few words of Scripture to lodge in a person's mind. And those few words can make all the difference for all eternity. The Word of God that you have at your disposal is a word that is living and powerful. And because you have the Word of God, you have something to say that can make a difference in the world in which you live. Don't put a lot of trust in other things. Don't trust in your learning. Don't trust in talking about your own experiences or your own opinions or any of those things. But do trust in the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is what the Word of God says that it is. And here in the Word of God, we're told that His Word is living and powerful. It is sharp and piercing. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And people can dismiss you. They can dismiss your opinions. They can dismiss your upbringing and your background. And they can silence those things out, and they can forget about those things. But see the Word of God. See the Word of God. They can't get rid of that, because it is sharp and it is piercing, and it gets right in there. And it gets right in where they can't get rid of it. And that's the challenge that we have as Christians, to try to get that Word of God and to try to bring the Word of God to bear upon the lives of people. Because if you can get them to take something on board from the Word of God, that something is living and powerful, and it can have a mighty effect. And we can think of ourselves as people who won't be big influencers of others. People won't pay much attention to anything that we might have to say. They're not going to respect us. They're not going to think that we're the people that have all the answers and all those kind of things. There can be all sorts of reasons why we think that we have nothing to offer. But here is what we have. We have the Word of God, living and powerful. There is nothing like it. And it was the Word of God that brought Lazarus out of the tomb. And it is the Word of God that will bring sinners to life today. And we have that Word. And let's not water it down and think that it's anything other than what it says it is here in Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and powerful. There is nothing like it. There is nothing that pierces like this Word pierces. And so let us pray, and let us have confidence, and let us seek opportunity to get that Word across, because it is in this Word that there is hope. Amen.